Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
After the wonderful victory at Jericho, where the walls of the city crumbled before them upon their shout, the children of Israel then turned their attention to the city of Ai, no doubt full of expectation that this city would be delivered into their hands with equal ease. But the record in the book of Joshua reveals that just the opposite happened. This time, against a much less fierce opponent, the children of Israel were routed. Why such a change? If the Lord had been with them to such an extent at Jericho, what was the reason that he abandoned them now? Well, the answers do not just tell us something about the history of Israel. They also tell us a lot about our own history with God. Ron Kengis has joined us for this fellowship today from Joshua chapter 7 and 8. Ron, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here. I appreciate your using this word history. The history recounted in these chapters is significant for what it reveals concerning our own history with God. And this reminds me of something pointed out in the very first message of this life study, that what we have in the historical books is not simply an historical record, but a revelation of God's economy being carried out by God's move in his history with man, in man and through man, and how we today need to be one with God in writing today's history with God and of God. So we need to be one with him. Otherwise, we'll simply have a miserable history of failure and defeat, which is what we have here in these chapters, at least in part. But hopefully we can learn from Israel's history so that we will not repeat the same mistake by not being one with God, not actually needing God in a practical way. So even if we just concentrated on this one point, I'm not saying that we will, but it's certainly a crucial point, we need to be one with God. God is committed to us. He wants to be one with us and move with us. There's no problem on his part, but we need to be one with him, not only when we face the Jerichos, but especially when we face the little Ais. There we may trust ourselves and not be one with God. So this program, I believe, will be enlightening and perhaps even inoculating for many of us so that we will learn not to set God aside, but to set ourselves aside, denying ourselves, really needing the Lord, praying to him genuinely, exercising to be one spirit with him, so that whatever we do in him, with him, through him, and by him. And as a corollary, he is able to move unhindered by us, but rather released by us. So there's much light to come in this brief consideration of Joshua 7 and 8 opened in the way of life study.
Oh, really good. We had a very good program yesterday. Bob Danker was here, and of course we covered chapter 6, and that's the victory at Jericho, as we alluded to in the introduction. One of the problems that crept in at the end of this victorious situation in Jericho was a sinful act, a rebellious act. They were told very specifically not to bring out any of the artifacts, any of the items they found in the city, but to destroy utterly everything, except, of course, Rahab and her family. But as we come to chapter 7, verse 1, I'll read a couple of verses to set the stage here. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, from the tribe of Judah, took some of the things under the ban. Therefore, the anger of Jehovah burned against the sons of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Not all the people need go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and strike Ai. Do not make all the people labor there, for the enemies are few." Not a mighty fortified city at all, but as you said, Ron, just the little town of Ai, and yet it would stumble them. We'll begin today with a review a little bit from Witness Lee, looking back at their experience at Jericho. As I said, a very good contrast for what we have today. Here's Witness Lee.
According to the record of Joshua, God wanted to have men to be one with him. God could do everything without man, but he lacked to keep the principle of incarnation. He lacked to do everything through man, with man, even within man. We saw the picture to fight against Jericho, the ark on the shoulders of the priests. That picture shows us a corporate God-man. It was not God watching by himself, but it was God watching by a group of men, priests. And the priests didn't work by themselves alone. They worked with God together, right? So God and man and God worked together as one person. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, every time, every day, he was the God-man. On the one hand, he was a man. But on the other hand, he did the things that only God could do. Right? He was a God-man. He was the ark upon the shoulders of his followers. They crossed the River Jordan by this way, one with God as a God-man. They destroyed Jericho also by the same way, God with man. Actually, it was God fighting for Israel. Israel was there doing nothing but shouting, proclaiming, right, testifying, then to occupy, to enjoy.
Amen.
Think about it, right? This picture, this scene should remain all the way.
Amen.
From the first city, Jericho, to the last city, it should be like this.
Ron, a wonderful application here to not just the New Testament in terms of seeing Christ in the same principle as this oneness between Israel and God, Christ being the God-man, but even the application extends to us as well, doesn't it?
It certainly does, but this is not commonly recognized. And for some of our listeners, it may be something they've never considered. And maybe it would help to clarify if we introduce a term in our fellowship, and that is the principle of incarnation. Of course, with the Lord Jesus, God became flesh. God entered into humanity. This is what to be incarnate means. The principle of incarnation is that God, although he is almighty, he desires and he has determined to carry out his economy by the principle of incarnation. That is, he wants to move on the earth to fulfill his purpose, not by himself alone, but with man, through man, even in man. This is what we see positively with Jericho and negatively at first with Ai.
Mm-hmm.
At Jericho, you have the ark signifying Christ as the embodiment of God, born as a testimony by the priests, And the people function as a corporate man. They actually were a corporate man. And God and man were moving together in a marvelous oneness. This is the principle of incarnation, God moving in man, with man, through man, and by man. God intended that his people would move and that he would move with them in the same way with all the other cities. But Israel broke this principle. On the one hand, there was disobedience to God through sin. On the other hand, they trusted in themselves, did not inquire of God, and proceeded without God. So that is a negative instance showing the importance of this principle. And this is not a matter simply of something with our lip. We just say glibly that, oh, we're one with God and God is with us. This requires that we deny ourselves, that we know God's economy, that we honor the oneness of the body of Christ, the oneness of the Spirit. It requires that we're really open to the Lord, that we are humble before him, so we can truly be one with him, actually and practically. This is what God wants, even what God needs. This is what we need, and we pray it will also be what we, God's people, want, to be one with him, so he can move according to the principle of incarnation to carry out his eternal purpose.
Well, often the Bible uses the black background to help illustrate the white point, and this matter of oneness is surely the white, but the black today is the experience that the children of Israel have in this city, Ai. As we continue in chapter 7, it says, "So about 3,000 men from the people went up there, but they fled from the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 of their men and pursued them from the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them down on the descent. So the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the ground upon his face before the ark of Jehovah until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads." Quite an opposite experience from Jericho. Of course, we saw a moment ago that sin had taken place, disobeying the Lord's command by taking out some items from Jericho after it was destroyed. But what strikes me, Ron, as we'll see in the next two segments, is the complete difference in the way that even the children of Israel and Joshua approached this next city. There was no record of any consultation with the Lord, with the captain who had been among them. Really, they kind of set out on their own now and had a strategy that they thought for sure would work, but it didn't, as I think the whole story underlines very much. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
This chapter is on the destruction of Ai. The children of Israel suffered a defeat. Why? Four reasons. When they destroyed Jericho, God didn't want them to take anything. All the things in the city of Jericho were devoted to destruction. Not one piece exception. But in that destruction, one man of war in the tribe of Judah, he stole a piece of mantle from Shinar. It was a mantle used for the idol worship. Then that man deceived the people. That offended the Lord. So they lost the Lord's presence. So number one is that they sinned. Number two is that they lost the presence of the Lord. And the Lord would not be with them, but they went by themselves and fought the war on their own. They lost the oneness with God. After the destruction of Jericho, there was a sin by one individual. But that one individual was not by himself. He was a member of the body, right? when you got sick, whatever part gets sick in your body, that is the sickness of the entire body. Now, Achan, the sinner of the tribe of Judah, he did the stealing, he did the deceiving, he did everything just by himself. But because he was a member of the body, his sinning affects the entire body. So God said to Joshua, Israel sinned. That surprised Joshua. Who was the sinning one? Who? Israel. In God's eyes, Israel sinned. So from that time, God's presence stayed away. I do believe this was the reason that, including Joshua, all the children of Israel became foolish.
Ron, really a significant point here. Joshua seeking the Lord as to why their experience had turned so negatively. And the Lord enlightens them that the problem was Israel had sinned. Yet as Joshua became aware, really, in one hand, it wasn't Israel. It was just this one person. What principle do we see here?
I'm glad you used the word principle, and I'm glad you asked so directly so I can respond in kind. It's the principle of the body. Last segment of fellowship, we emphasized the principle of incarnation. Here we have the principle of the body, and this means that although we're individuals and responsible as individuals, what we do affects the body, and the body has a reaction, and the body has feeling, and the body may suffer or be blessed. By the body, I mean the body of Christ as an organic reality. So this remarkable expression, Israel has sinned, is a case of this principle. The word could have been written otherwise, I suppose. It could have said, someone in Israel has sinned. But the word says Israel has sinned because what Achan did affected the whole people. We are so individualistic, especially in this country, and we bring this into our understanding of the divine revelation. And God has a strong corporate emphasis. He wants a people.
Yeah.
And if we would pay attention to this, that what we do as members of the body affects the body of Christ, this is the body principle. And in a sense, the body bears the responsibility for what we do. An awesome and weighty matter, but if we see the positive side, a most wonderful one, if we go back and take heart at the beautiful picture at Jericho, there is the body principle operating positively. With Achan causing the defeat at Ai, we see the body principle operating negatively. But in both cases, it's the principle of the body. If God's people took seriously in their seeking of Him, in their service, in their reading of the Word, these two principles, the principle of incarnation mm-hmm. and the principle of the body, mm-hmm. the situation among Christians would be revolutionized with respect to God's eternal economy.
Really, really so. Well, Israel won the victory at Jericho, as we saw, by exalting Christ, as typified by the way they bore the ark. But that exalting of Christ turned to a somewhat a self-exaltation, which often happens in our own experience after we've had a so-called victory. And what begins to get exalted is the flesh, and that always leads to a fall, and that was their experience. And the Lord gives them a way to be restored, as we see in this final segment. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We have to learn a lesson. We, the people of God, should be all the time one with our God, especially in the New Testament time. Our God today is not only among us, but He's within each one of us. We have Him. So every one of us is not a single person. Have you ever thought about that you are a God of man? Whatever we do, wherever we are, Amen. we have to realize I shouldn't act, behave, and do things by myself. If I were Joshua at that time, I would ask God what he wants us to do this time. That will be the secret for their victory.
Amen.
They lost God's presence.
Amen.
Now, right away, Joshua learned the lesson. To stay with the Lord before the ark, that was the wise way. So the Lord came back to talk to him. Joshua, you get rid of the sin among you. Then I will be with you forever. Otherwise, I will be no more with you. If you have his presence, you have wisdom, you have the insight, you have the foresight, and you do have the inner knowledge of all things. In this part of the history, we have to learn all the secrets, how to work together. Don't say how to follow. It is meant to work with him, to live with him, to have your being with him.
Amen.
Even you are drinking a cup of water, you have to say, Lord Jesus, let me take a cup of water. Have you ever prayed this way? You are going to make a phone call. Still I pray, Lord, is it of you to make this phone call? Quite often I would call, but he would not. This is the way to work like a Christian. And this is the way to fight like one child of God. And this is the way to build up the body of Christ. Just remember and practice, you are one with him.
Ron, we just have a minute or so left here, but I think I made a comment at the beginning of the program that he just corrected. I think I said something about their following the Lord at the beginning of the program related to Jericho. Here he said, don't say follow, say walk together with him. This is something much higher even, isn't it?
It is both the principle of incarnation and the principle of the body operating together. It's not wrong to say we follow the Lord, but from the point of view of the oneness God desires, it's short. We need to learn to be one with him. If this would dawn on us that God desires and needs us to be one with him, and we need and we should desire to be one with him, we need to learn this not just in big things, in Jerichos, but in all the AIs, all the things that seem to us to be insignificant, and all the little details of our daily life, to learn to be one with our God through Christ as the Spirit, and to do everything with him so that whatever is in his heart could be carried out through us, with us, and in us. This is the main point of this program. Being one with God for his move, being one with God in his history today.
One of those programs that had a lot of hidden treasures in it. I got a lot from this fellowship, Ron, and I hope our listeners did as well. I believe they did. How about you?
I must admit, I'm also pleasantly surprised. But this is the kind of thing that happens in the Lord's grace,
right,
when we're one with him.
Amen. Well, as always, thanks for your participation, and Lord willing, you'll be back maybe even before this week is over. So we'll look forward to whenever it is. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, our time is up. We invite you, as we always do, to contact us about the materials, particularly, especially these printed life study messages, this life study of Joshua and the two short books to come, Judges and Ruth, opening it up, I think, in a way that is absolutely rare in the Christian scene today. So we hope you'll take advantage of it. We will be back with another life study in the book of Joshua. For Ron Kangas today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening.